before I have you turn in your Bibles, I'd like to just start with an introduction. And today's Father's Day. And probably one of the greatest challenges to a pastor is when you approach days like this, Mother's Day, Father's Day, especially those today, Mother's Day, Father's Day. Because if you will, look around. How does a pastor preach one message on Father's Day to fathers and yet pray that it impacts a diverse multitude of people? For granted, we have fathers here today, but we also have mothers. Sons, daughters, grandfathers, men, women, right? Children. And when it comes around, whether it's Mother's Day or Father's Day, I'll tell you this. It's probably one of the most stressful weeks in my life. To come before the Lord and say, Lord, what would you have me to say? What would you have me to preach? And all week, I just, it's in the back of my mind, it's in my prayer, Lord, what do you want me to say on Father's Day? And I was reading in John's letter, 1 John, and I'm thankful for that because every pastor, every preacher faces the same predicament. John writes, and as John writes, and John, 1 John chapter 2, you don't have to turn there, but he writes, and in one verse he says, I'm speaking to fathers. And he says, I'm speaking to young men, I'm speaking to children. And he says, I'm speaking to everybody. But then I was brought back to Ephesians chapter 4. You don't have to turn there as well. But Ephesians, I'm just giving you the thought process to how we're going to get to where we're going this morning to even begin. But Ephesians chapter 4, as Paul is thankful for the church, he's thankful for the blessings of God in Christ Jesus. And speaking about the church and all the people of the church, he says, we're all fit together, compacted by the work of Jesus Christ. And it comes down in Ephesians chapter 4, and he says, I gave some pastors and teachers. Then it's this next phrase that brings us into an understanding of the message this morning, how it will fit all. It says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the perfecting of the saints. And that brings us to the challenge of the message this morning. How is a message that speaks directly to fathers, how can it impact a whole multitude? Because while this morning the message is specifically in the context of fathers and men, it does impact every one of us. Because as you listen this morning, first of all, to all men, we should be listening to the Word of God this morning. Not only to fathers, but to grandfathers, because grandfathers still have an impact, but also to sons, because to every young man this morning, this is what you should be setting your sights on and seeking after in your life. And so the message this morning is for all men, but it's also for women. Because this is what wives should be supporting their husbands in their capacity, in their ministry. This is what moms should be praying for their sons. And this is what young women should be seeking after in their life for the man that God would have for them. So this morning, the message does apply to every one of us. It does have an impact. So I don't want you to just say, well, it's a Father's Day message. I can just kind of keep smiling, keep looking ahead, and just close my ears and think about, no, it's for every one of us. But the message this morning is a challenging message. Because it would be easy, and it is easy, to just speak this morning on Father's Day and give a message of, if you will, of commendation and happy Father's Day, and we're glad you're here. And well, I am glad you're here. I'm glad for every father that is here this morning. You're in the right place. And that's a good start. It's a good start that every father and every dad that's here this morning is in the right place, the house of God, on the Lord's Day with your family. But that's only a start. This morning, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge every one of us in this regard. I want to challenge us for the perfecting of the saints. Because it's easy just to give a commendation. It's easy to just give words of thanksgiving and in that sense. But that can also and often lead to complacency. I remember growing up, and as I studied trumpet, I remember there were times where my teacher, my instructor, would encourage me, and he would say, well done. But I'm thankful that it never stopped there. I'm thankful that my teacher never said, well done, and there's no need for improvement. There's no need to challenge you to go further. But no, it seemed like every time my teacher said, well done, it was like, well done, but there's a lot more. And let's move on and let's go on. So this morning, I want to speak to you about what's needed in a man today. What's needed in spiritual men today? Not just what is needed in a man or a father in a general sense, but in a very specific sense. What is needed in a spiritual man, in a spiritual father? What is really needed? Because men and fathers can be all sorts of things that the world looks upon and said, that's good and that's good, but what is really needed? And I want to give you three things this morning. And I want to give you three things about what is needed in a man today from the testimony of one man that's spoken of in Scripture. So if you'll turn with me to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 5 this morning. And I'll give you the three things that the Bible speaks about that are needed in men today, that are needed in fathers today, that are needed in spiritual men in general, that are needed in fathers today, in husbands today, in sons today, in young men today. Three very important things. Number one is what is needed is godly men. Godly men. Godly men that, number two, can have a great ministry through their lives. Number one, godly men. Number two, we'll see, they can have a great ministry through their life as husbands, as fathers, as single men, as young men, as older men. But godly men that have a great ministry because they have a gospel mindset. And it's found in the life and the testimony of one man. One man that's spoken briefly and clearly, but simply in a few passages in Scripture. And the man's name is Enoch. And the first thing we see about Enoch in Genesis chapter 5, and the main thing that we see about Enoch, and the main thing that we need to see in men today, whether it be young men, old men, husbands, fathers, grandfathers, what we need today is godly men that know the meaning and the reality of what's seen in the life of Enoch this morning. For the Bible says this about this one man, Enoch. Enoch, verse 21 of chapter 5, Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And then it says this, just very simply, four words. Enoch walked with God. To every man this morning, whether you be a grandfather, a father, a son, husband, or single, if there's one thing that's needed in men today, if there's one thing that's needed in men in the church today, if it's one thing that's needed in men in the world today, it's men that know what it means to walk with God. Godly men. Men whose character is seen in their relationship with God more than anything else. Because it is godly men that are the ones that will have a great impact and a great ministry in society. Beginning in their homes, in their church, and in the world. And the Bible says Enoch walked with God. He had a relationship with God, a close relationship with God. A relationship with God that affected his life. And in order to understand that relationship, we can turn over to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. The book of Amos says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? And when you think of that verse, it's God speaking about relationship with mankind. Now, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, listen, let me just clue you in on something. If two need to walk together, if they need to be in agreement to walk together, hey, listen, I'll give you one straight up fact that's pretty simple. God's not the one that needs to change. He's holy. He's perfect. But it's you and I that need the change. In Hebrews chapter 11, it gives us a testimony of Enoch. Once again, it's a simple testimony, but yet it's a great testimony, challenging testimony. Here's his testimony. Genesis 5, it says Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. It says it a couple times in Genesis chapter 5. But the writer of Hebrews goes on to speak about it in verse number 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. Here's the testimony. Here's a simple testimony of God regarding the life of this man. He pleased God. He pleased God. What a testimony. What a testimony. You think about it. The testimony of Enoch does not say he pleased men. It does not say he pleased his wife. It does not say he pleased his children. It goes beyond that. It says he pleased God. He pleased God. There's the challenge to men this morning. Is your life pleasing God? Is my life pleasing God? Because that's what godliness comes down. That's what walking with God brings to fruition in your life. That your life, more than anything else, more than anything else, pleases God. You say, that's, Pastor, that's a high standard. That's a high level to hit. Paul says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's the challenge for every man today. That should be our challenge. That's the challenge we should take to heart. I want my life more than anything else to simply do this, to please God. Am I perfect? No. Are you perfect? No. Will I ever be perfect? Well, one day I'm going to be changed. Amen? But is my life today, is my life today as a man? Is my life today as a husband? Is my life today as a father? Is my life today as a grandfather? Is my life today as a pastor? Is it pleasing God? There's only one way that can happen, is if you walk with God. If you walk with God, your personal life. And here's how Enoch walked with God. Here's how Enoch pleased God. He had this testimony, pleased God. Verse number 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. May I encourage you and challenge you about two things about walking with God and having faith. It comes down to this. Number one, believe in God. Number one, believe in God, believing the word of God. You know, simply put, it's this. It's opening this up and reading and believing it. This is God's word. From beginning to ending, it's God's word. In the beginning, God. If you want to walk with God, men, if you want a godly life, if you have a testimony that pleases God, it starts with opening this. You know what young people and families need to see? You know what children need to see? You know what teenagers need to see these days? They need to see dads opening this and believing this. They need to see dads that have taken the challenge to believe God and are reading the Word of God more than anything else. But it says, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And not only believing the word of God, but also trusting the God of his word, and living by faith. Living by faith. I am thankful, and I'm not ashamed to say this over and over again. I'm thankful for my dad. I'm thankful for the many times that I woke up, would go downstairs, and I would see my dad in the living room early in the morning with his Bible open. I'm thankful that when my dad died, I was given one of his Bibles, because he wore them out. so much. But I'm also thankful for the testimony of my dad. And I could speak much of the testimony of my dad's faith. But I'll give you one specific instance that has stuck with me for the longest time. Is in the latter years of my dad's life, well, not the latter years, but, well, he was about my age. And he had worked for a company in Massachusetts for many years. And then he was transferred to another business out in San Diego when he was didn't matter what work he was in. He was an engineer. But then he got laid off. At about my age, he got laid off, or maybe it was a little later, I'm not sure, but at some point he got laid off, and there was a big layoff. A number of men get laid off. Now I remember him coming home and just speaking about that time and how many of these guys got laid off, and there was much complaining and frustration, and there was none of that with my dad. In fact, the company was going to have a special dinner, an appreciation dinner for all the men that they laid off. Now I can remember my dad telling my mom and telling us that he went to his boss and he asked if he would be given the opportunity to speak at this dinner. And so they allowed him the privilege and the opportunity to speak at this dinner. And while there were many men that were upset and complaining and discouraged and disgruntled about the layoff, my dad, and I heard this testimony from my mom, and my dad stood up and he first of all thanked the company for the opportunity, the privilege of working for them and for their provision in meeting his needs as a dad, and as a husband and father of a home. He thanked them for the help they were giving to the men and transitioning to new jobs and helping them, older men, prepare resumes and get interviews. And he thanked them for their innovation in helping these men move on in their lives. And then I'll never forget, as only my dad could do. He was a quiet man. He didn't say a lot, but boy, I tell you what, when he did, E.F. Hutton listened. If you were old, you remember what that was all about. And he stood up and he said this. He took a dollar bill out of his pocket. And as he thanked that company for all that they had given the years that he had worked there, he said, "And I look toward the future and what's going to take place." And he says, "I don't know." He says, "But I know this. That on the back of this dollar bill is where my hope is." And he simply read what is said on the dollar bill. "In God we trust." And he sat down and I thought, wow, what a simple statement. And you see, what is needed in men today, what is needed in fathers today, what is needed in young men today, is men that live godly lives, that walk with God, that believe God and trust God and commit themselves and their wives and their families and everything they are and everything they have to God. Because through that, through the character of that man, brings about a great ministry. You see, husbands and fathers, we have a great responsibility. God has given us a great responsibility. That great responsibility is to have a great ministry through our lives. You say, what ministry? The impacting by your life and your godliness the next generation. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 78. To Psalm 78. You see, to every man here this morning, you live your life and then, you know, something's going to happen. Not to be morbid, but something's going to happen. You're going to die. Right? And they're going to put your body in a grave. And if they think anything of you, they're going to put stone there to remember where they put your body. And they're going to put your name on it. And they're going to put the date you were born and the date you were that you died. But is that all that your life amounts to? That's not what God desires. God desires that there's more for your life. In Psalm 78, in verse number 1, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. Ask yourself this, Dad, husband, father. How much have your children heard the praises of the Lord from your mouth and from your life? How has your life and your words praised God and shown them how great God is? Showing to the generation to come the praise of the Lord, His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. Oh, that our children and our grandchildren would know much more of God through us. Through the testimony of our belief, through the testimony of our faith, that they would see the Lord, that they would see and hear of His strength, that they would hear and see of the wonderful works of God and what He has done and what He is able to do. Why? Why? For He established a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded to our fathers, that they should make them known to the children, that the generation to come, that the generation to come might know them. God wants the generation to come to know Him through the Word of God and through the testimony of our lives. God wants young people today to know through the Word of God who God is, but also to see the reality, the practical and personal reality of God in the lives of men through their testimony, just like Enoch. Enoch walked with God. Even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them their children, that they might set their hope in God. That they might set their hope in God. Paul would write to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And he would encourage Timothy not only to remember the things that he had learned, but to be mindful and to remember of whom he had learned them. The testimony of the people that taught him, not only by the Word of God, but by their life. Why? So that the generation might come, might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. And you know, when you go back to Genesis chapter 5, When you go back to Genesis chapter 5, I want to show you the ministry that Enoch had. We read of his testimony that he had a godly character. We read of his testimony that he had this testimony that he pleased God, that he believed God, that he trusted God. But in Genesis chapter 5, it also gives us the impact of his life. And secondly, the great ministry that Enoch had. For the Bible says Enoch walked with God. Verse 21, Enoch lived 65 years. And most of us, we read that 65 years and, wow, well, that, you know, they're 65. Well, that's retirement, isn't it? Well, actually, that's just the beginning of, now, I'm not, no, in those days, it's just the beginning of his great ministry. 65 years, and he begat Methuselah. There's the beginning of his ministry in his son Methuselah. But it didn't stop there. Methuselah had a son. Verse 25, Methuselah lived 187 years. He begat Lamech. Lamech, verse 28, Lamech lived 182 years, and he begat a son, and he called his son Noah. And then you turn over to chapter 6, and I want you to notice something in chapter 6. We read so much about Noah, rightly so, by the way. We read so much about Noah. His name was Noah because he shall comfort us. But you know what it says about Noah in chapter 6? In verse number 8, while the rest of the world was in sin, it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. You know what it says of Noah? It says the same thing of Enoch. Enoch walked with God. Enoch had a son, Methuselah. Methuselah had a son named Lamech. Lamech had a son named Noah. And the Bible says Noah walked with God. Well, when we read this, we know the rest of the story of the life of Noah. But my point this morning is that the Bible says the same thing of Noah that it says of, what would that be? His great, 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 I don't know, whatever generation it is. The same thing is said of Enoch, was said of Noah. And I believe there's a connection there. I believe there's an impact. Enoch had a great ministry. And the ministry was seen in the generations to come. But Enoch had this ministry. First of all, Enoch was a godly man. He walked with God. He had a great ministry. He impacted the next generation, the next generation, and the next generation. You know what? Every man here, that's the impact you can have. The next generation. We look around and we say, where's this world headed? Leave that with God. And let the challenge be to you and to me is how can I impact the next generation? Number one, it's by living a godly life, walking with God, pleasing God, believing God, trusting God, committing your life to God and everything you have and everything you are to God. That's how you have a great impact on future generations. But there's something else in Enoch's life. Enoch not only had a godly life, not only walked with God, He not only had a great ministry, but he had a gospel mindset. Because the Bible says one other thing about Enoch. It says Enoch walked with God. In Hebrews, it speaks about his faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But then if you go over to the book of Jude, way in the back of the Bible, next to the last book. Just one chapter. One chapter, very brief, but once again, very convicting and challenging. Jude writes, and he says, "Beloved," in verse 3, "and I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." And then he goes on to speak about the world and how it's going further and further away from God. But then you come down to verse number 14. And once again, all of a sudden, it just comes up, the testimony of Enoch. A man that walked with God, a man that pleased God, a man that believed God and trusted God and committed his life to God. A godly man that had a great ministry, and we see the impact in future generations. And Noah walked with God. Noah led his whole family near the ark to the saving of their souls, while God condemned the rest of the world in judgment because of their sin. And then you come down to verse number 14. Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Enoch had a gospel mindset. You say, "Whoa, hold on, Pastor. A gospel mindset?" Yeah, he said, "The Lord's coming. And he says, he's coming to judge." Folks, that's where the gospel begins, is understanding the holiness and the righteousness of God and the judgment of God upon sin. And Enoch warned. Enoch warned, and the message was heard through the generations that followed, coming down to Noah, who would comfort concerning the labor of our hands. But Enoch prophesied of judgment to come. He says, "The Lord cometh." He says, "The Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners has spoken against him." He had a gospel mindset. You say, "Well, how do you know it was a gospel mindset?" Because if you turn over to the last chapter of the Bible, what Enoch was speaking about, what Enoch believed, and what is brought forth from Genesis chapter 1 to Genesis chapter 22 is the message of the gospel. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Why? Because God manifested his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you know, in Revelation chapter 22, three times, three times, Jesus says this. Verse 7, behold, I come quickly. Verse 20, he which testifieth the things saying, surely I come quickly. But back in verse number 12, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his works shall be. I am the Alpha and Omega. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they have, may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let them hear, let him that heareth say, come. And then it says this. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Jesus says, I'm coming quickly. But before I come, I want to extend one more invitation, if you will, to that one that is thirsting, that is seeking, to that one that realizes it's got to be something more. That something more is Jesus Christ. We could go back to the Gospel of John chapter 4. In fact, turn there, if you will, John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Because in John chapter 4, we have the story, the record, the account. I don't like to use the word story as much as the account, because it was a real account. And Jesus came to a well. In verse number 6, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews had no dealing with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank there of himself and his children, his cattle? Jesus answered and said to her, whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus came to this woman and he says, if you drink of the water that I give, he says, it'll spring up as everlasting life. And that's the gospel, folks. The gospel of everlasting life through faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross of Calvary. Let me say this to the men this morning. The greatest ministry you have is to preach and to live the gospel of Jesus Christ unto your family.
in Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, the invitation is given once again. And I'm thankful for the invitation that's given. And I'm thankful for the way it's given. I'm thankful for what is said. Because in verse number 17, it says, "And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I'm thankful, first of all, that there is the water of life. I'm thankful that the message just doesn't end, that the Lord comes to execute judgment upon all the ungodly and all that have committed ungodly deeds and spoken ungodly words against Him. I'm thankful that there's more, because if that was all the message, there'd be no hope. But you see, Jesus Christ came a first time so that He could extend a message to all. Jesus Christ came and gave His life for you and me on the cross of Calvary, so He could extend a message of hope, a message of salvation through faith in Him. And the invitation in Revelation chapter 22 speaks of the water of life. Just as Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, just as Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 55, and we could take time and we could go through all the passages of Scripture, but Jesus said, "I'm the one. I'm the one that can give you eternal life." And He says this, "Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." First of all, that first word, whosoever. Aren't you glad that's the word that's used there, whosoever? Aren't you thankful this morning that there's no parentheses? There's no limitations? All the limitations and all the parentheses that put on all the things in this world. And yet, when the greatest thing is spoken of, the gospel of Jesus Christ, it simply says, whosoever. That means young people. Children. That means older people. That means in between people. That means people that are on the last step of their life. Whosoever. Means men and women, boys and girls. It encompasses every people, all throughout the world, every language. Whosoever. But it also says this, whosoever will. Whosoever will. I'm thankful also it doesn't say whosoever understands everything that's written in the Scripture. It says whosoever will. In other words, whoever wants to be saved. Whoever will. You can come up with all the excuses. You can come up with all the everything you want to say. And God says, whosoever will. For God so loved the world. And it doesn't matter what you or I think about anybody else. God said, I love the world, and my Son Jesus Christ laid down His life for every individual in the world. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life. Let him receive the gospel by faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And then it says one other thing. Let him take of the water of life freely. freely. What a wonderful word that is. You know, we hear the statement all the time, well, nothing in this world is free. Oh, yes, there is one thing that is free. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And why it is free is because it's already been paid for with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So my challenge to us this morning, to each and every one of us, but through the lens of men on this Father's Day, is that each one of us, whether the man or woman, whether father, mother, whether young person or older person, my challenge to every one of us is that we would seek and strive to live godly lives. I remember when we used to, years and years and years and years and years, hundreds of years ago, in our school, when we used to, sometimes we would take the kids before school started, we'd take them away for a couple of days. And I remember one of those occasions that we had a young man that worked with the youth up at Hartford. His name was Pete Weary. And he loved the young people. And he cared for the young people. But I remember one time he said this. I'll never forget it. He says, a lot of people say they want their kids, their children, to be good kids. He says, that's not enough. He says, we don't want our kids to be good kids. You might say, whoa, what? He says, we want our kids to be godly kids. And that's what God wants of every one of us. To have godly characters. To walk with God, to please God, to honor God with our lives. Because through that character of a godly person, there can be a great ministry that impacts the generations to come through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I challenge every one of us this morning. May we strive by the grace of God, through the Spirit of God, according to the mercy of God. May we strive to be godly Christians with the purpose that we'd have a great impact on the generation to come. Through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the word this morning. Lord, I pray that you've spoken to our hearts. Lord, I pray also that we would understand that it all begins with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That it all starts with coming to an understanding and a realization of how we stand undone before God, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That we would hear the gospel message that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, was buried and rose again, and that we might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Lord, I pray this morning there's someone here that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, that today would be the day. This morning would be the morning that they would call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. But I also pray this morning, Lord, that you'd convict and challenge our hearts to live godly lives. More than anything, to walk with thee so that our lives might be an example, having an impact on the generation to come, that they might set their hope in God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.